That was the Steve Vox. And then the other one was? Huh? Krishna is watching. So, application, I mean, part of it is a question. You said it felt good. Did you, what was it about it that felt good? You felt that your relationship with Krishna was more vibrant and real and vivid? Not exactly.
I do not want to sound very flowery, but this place is very beautiful, and I just had a feeling that Krishna is so powerful that he created everything, and still I get the feeling that out of so many people in the world, he is watching each one of them individually, and he is watching me at this moment, and what I have to do is just that I have to chant, and it gave me a very good feeling that I mean something to Krishna.
That's nice. Keep going with that, and along with the process of chanting, the longer term goal, and then there's like the ultimate goal, but the longer term goal is to become re-established in our relationship with Krishna all the time. And the best medium to begin that is through chanting, and then all the time. And all the time, all the time. Again, so that as you're executing your plan, or making the plan, executing the plan, dealing with unexpected events in the execution of the plan, Krishna is always with you. It starts from chanting. Like, you know, that's our process. For some it's prayer, for some it's something or something. Some ritual to connect with God. So this keeps us always connected. And in the ultimate sense, to enter into Krishna's pastimes eternally. Like, then you don't have so much planning anymore. Just whatever Krishna wants. And he'll give the indication what he wants. And then we do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything over here? Again, specifically, those that were participating for the first time, would like to share their experience. Yeah.
Yeah. We are here for the first time, Maharaj. So myself and my wife, we thought like we'll do 32 rounds because we have a two-year-old baby. So we came here with a mind that we'll do 32 rounds each.
32?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many did you do?
108. My wife did complete, I think she did around 80 plus or so.
Wow. So what was your experience like from 32 to 108?
We just felt like it's all Krishna's mercy because our younger son, he slept like almost most of the time, giving us the time. Yeah, because by 1 o'clock or so, like, we both complete 64 rounds. And, after lunch, then I thought, like, we have time, so I could do further. And then I did complete around 9:30 or so night, but...
What resource or resources helped you the most?
Most of the time, like, I did, like, I think, in the room, like, around 30 plus or rounds, like, and then going out and walking around. But most of the times with other devotees who are chanting and joining with them, and then most of the times the association.
Association. Were there times when it was tough, struggle? No.
At least this time... I didn't feel, at least for those 64 rounds, I didn't feel, but after that, like, I was kind of doing the other rounds a little bit separately, like, independent kind of, so.
Do you feel that the chanting quantity rounds like that helped you focus or feel connected to Krishna or something like that?
At least for some of the rounds like which I did, and I know like most of the rounds I might not have done in the right way or so, but yeah, I did feel good, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone on this side who participated for the first time? You raised your... I saw more hands than one over on that side before. Who is a first-time participant in the Japa retreat who would like to share? I'll ask a different question. How many of you were here for the first time on the ladies' side? Okay. Thank you. Are you willing to share? I don't want to force you. Are you okay sharing? Maybe not. Okay. Okay, we'll go back to the men's side. Ladies, get ready.
Thank you, Maharaj. It was a beautiful experience, something that I can take in my heart. I've been chanting 16 rounds, and I committed to 64. So, as Prabhuji said, the initial rounds were very easy. When I was doing, after 32 plus, it started getting tougher. And something that really helped me was Haridas Thakur's prayers. Something that really helped me when I was going through that phase where I was, it was tough to concentrate, was Haridas Thakur's prayers that Mataji shared. I always felt that, you know, I lack association because of my work. And I was feeling so much gratitude for devotees. There are so many people who are just continuously there in the kitchen, helping in the planning, just so that I can advance in spiritual life and be a part of retreat. And when I felt that, immediately, automatically, the concentration went up. It was like a vicious cycle, you know. I would chant more attentively, and then I would feel more gratitude, that, wow, you know, I'm chanting nicely. That was one experience. And then when I was in the last few rounds, it was hard to concentrate. And I was like, okay, let me pull up some of the tricks that I learned the previous day. And I was trying hard. Okay, let me focus that, you know, Krishna is watching me. Let me do this. And when I was when I was trying harder and harder, it still didn't work. And then I said, okay, Krishna, I give up. You know, I just can't do it, but let me just chant your name. And as soon as I gave up, when I just felt that helplessness, it helped. And then when I was reflecting on the whole day, during my last rounds, what really helped, I realized that, wait a minute, Maharaj was saying, you know, that when I was trying harder and harder, it was still, I'm going to try harder. Let me do harder. And when I just gave up and left it on Krishna, it automatically helped.
Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. Right? Like Draupadi. Yeah.
So those two things helped a lot. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, when I do something, we're always in that calculative mind. What did I do? How did I gain? But after chanting those rounds, at the end of the day, my mind was just numb. So I was not doing any calculation, but I was still feeling very happy.
Well, numb or peaceful? I mean, they're
peaceful.
Two different.
Like, I was not being
relieved of the pressure of calculating. Yeah. Let the experience that you had towards the end sink in, meaning, you know, there's life awaiting you, where things will confront you that are, it's not happening right, it's not going well, and so try hard, you know, the same, repeat, the patterns repeat themselves, So remember this experience, not like, you know, I'm just going to sit back and wait for Krishna to do everything, but rather change from doership to receiving Krishna's mercy, eagerly seeking Krishna's mercy, while continuing to carry out the duty that's required, as to your ability, whatever that Krishna gives you the ability to do. Okay, thank you. Could we open, somebody open that door the rest of the way, like all the way open for air? It's amazing weather. Saw one of the park rangers and yesterday and just said, it's been really nice weather. He says, it's fabulous. We don't get weather like this normally. We're really fortunate. I mean, in many ways, fortunate. So we'll try again over on the ladies' side. And we'll ask for volunteers. And if I don't get volunteers, I'm going to call on people. Anybody that participated with us yesterday that would like to share your experience. Going once. Going twice. Come on. Somebody volunteer. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't see.
Hare Krishna. The whole weekend started out very amazing for me.
Very?
Very amazing.
Hmm.
I was a little reluctant. I made plans to come, and Nandasuta was helping. But I was still reluctant because I didn't know where I was coming, and I didn't know anyone here, and I like to stay home and do my regular thing. But I really felt like I needed to do something to help improve my japa, so I was coming. It started out, I've told several people this, I'm in the airport and there's a brahmachari there. So I talked to him. He's an ISKCON devotee, just passing through Minneapolis. He's in my section. He's also flying to Seattle. They call for the ticket for us to get our ticket for boarding. We're seated next to each other.
Wow.
So I always, Krishna's so merciful.
Krishna's going, got something going.
He's so funny.
Great sense of humor.
I knew it was an auspicious sign that I'm doing the right thing, so I came. And it's just been very amazing to me. And I want to just say that what you were talking about, Prabhu, is the gratitude. Is the gratitude I have.
Yes, the cell phones.
The gratitude that I have for the descending mercy to even be attracted to me. Because when I started out as a young person, I really had zero attraction for it to me. I really thought it was a little bit incessant, really. I couldn't understand it at all.
It was just due to Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy, and
the association of devotees, and Prasad, that I at least wanted to try to get a taste for the heaven. I still am working very hard on it. So I was meditating a lot while I was chanting.
Microphone, please. She moved the cell phone. That was the problem.
Oh. Is it working now?
Yeah.
I just want to say that I was meditating while I was chanting on this gratitude that I have about it. And it really helped me to just know that Krishna, you know, is there for us if we really try. You know, he sends me so many signs and so much mercy. If I could just give a little bit back, it would be good.
So that's like a big overview. What about how you chanted 64 rounds?
Yes, Maharaj. That was kind of shocking, too. And actually, it was, I think, I did it mostly in here. I did some a little earlier in the morning, just walking around down by the
ocean.
I like that. But it was very nice being with all the devotees. And it helped me a lot just to be in the association of all the devotees chanting. At one time, toward the end of it, I stopped chanting and I was just listening to all the devotees chanting. And I kept hearing,
Radha, Radha, Radha. And somehow the way the vibration was going, it was like that. I even came up to the speaker to see if they had put a tape on. Or if someone up this way was chanting like that, but I don't know. It was, so it was, you know, it was very sweet.
And what resource, besides, you know, when you go back home, you're not going to have this. So what will help you going forward? Because that's what you came for, improve the quality of your chanting.
I think to just keep, as you were talking about that Krishna's on our tongue and Krishna's right there and that we should turn toward Krishna. I kept thinking like that. Okay. That's helpful for me.
Okay.
Very nice.
Okay. Yes? Up front here? Is it on? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is my first Japa retreat.
Okay.
So, I was to start the day started with being very grateful for this opportunity. The devotees actually, I asked if I can do some service. They said, just focus on chanting today. So I was very grateful for that. They started my day early. And then the tools I used were, the Krishna is right there before us. He's doing his duty completely. So, you know, being aware of Krishna all the time, during chanting, that was what I was missing before. I was not aware of Krishna being before us and watching us all the time as a loving father. And he is, as Bharat Bhavatam Mataji mentioned, that he's just looking for you. When you turn to me, and I will just take you. So with that mood, I was chanting. It was a nice experience. I was always feeling that my chanting is dry. I don't have real feeling. And when I try, I do with doership mentality that I am doing. But you know, when we surrender, you know, I have no capability to do this. You know, just it is because of Krishna only we are able to do that chanting itself. And with love and gratitude, if I chanted, it was much better. And I was watching, I was being more aware of my consciousness throughout my chanting. At times it was down, at times it was up. Initially, after 16 rounds, the second 16 rounds were tough. I was trying to use techniques, Mataji mentioned, like Krishna is there. It was a little better, but then when I applied your teachings, like you know, Krishna is all loving, and you know that Krishna wants you. The preparation of consciousness.
Yes.
So those I started reflecting, and then completely depending on Krishna when we chant, it was much better feeling. That,
good.
That it was much better. So I thought I could not chant more rounds, but beyond 32. But of course, I wanted to complete 64. But I chanted more than that.
You chanted more than that.
Yeah. I chanted 96 rounds.
96 rounds. Fantastic.
It was a great experience. But I had a lot of lessons. Like I used to just chant, walk around. I don't want to do that now anymore because Krishna is aware and Krishna is watching us all the time. So all those bad habits I want to give up now going forward. When I sit down, then only I want to chant. Or you know, when I'm completely aware of Krishna, I want to chant.
Something that I'm hearing from a number, you know, collectively here, it's on the topic of improving quality of chanting. So there's chanting and then growing the bhakti element or spirit the devotional spirit to do the chanting for Krishna. And if that's nurtured to do, but start with chanting for Krishna, then all activities that we do the rest of the day and the rest of our life, to do them for Krishna. It will grow from chanting in a proper way. Everything comes from chanting. Can we fix the door so that it stays open? One of our boys moved the just little seats so that he could sit next to his friends. Get the boy a chair, poor kid. Okay. That will carry us to quality chanting, the devotional element. So, like you're saying, as opposed to the mechanical, there is the mechanical, make the sound, and then there's the devotional element within making the sound, and we're cultivating the devotional element within making the sound, chanting. Anyone else on the ladies' side? Ekta's looking fearful. Prepare yourself, Ekta, you're next. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is my second japa retreat. With Mataji's tour, like a kind of meditation, getting inwards, and doing the chanting on the Friday evening, that helped me very a lot. And then, like, closing the ears with the earbuds, really I'm able to hear what I am chanting. So, I thought of continuing that even at home, and I need your, is that okay? We can do that like that at home also. And I feel like very attentive chanting this time.
You felt very easy?
I felt it very easy. I mean, like very, very nice. I'm clearly able to hear what I'm chanting inside.
So your focus went to hearing?
Yeah, because Mataji explained on the Friday evening, like imaginating or feeling the form kind of thing. First we need to focus on the Nama.
Yeah, Nama Rupa Guna.
Yeah. So then, like, earlier I used to think like Krishna's beautiful swami face and Tribhangi Lalita Rupa, all these kinds of things. But now since yesterday I started focusing on only Nama. So closing the ears with the earbuds so that I'm concentratingly able to hear what I am chanting.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm a student at Oregon State University.
Okay.
And this is my third japa retreat.
Okay.
And I have recently graduated with my master's.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And
feels good, doesn't it?
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
then there's the next wave of what's coming up.
I've already started my PhD.
Okay.
So, this yesterday it was my graduation ceremony, and I missed it.
Really?
The thing is,
so you got a different graduation ceremony.
Yes. So this was always, in my mind when I was supposed to come here, and should I come here? Should I skip it? So this always bothered me, and I also know that some of my friends were going to come. And it was kind of pretty hard decision on my part. But I knew that from the past two experiences, whenever I come here, I take something from here. Uh-huh. So that actually motivated me to come over here.
Good.
So, and there are some things which I learned from the past few days. I don't know why I am not able to pronounce my mantra properly.
Hmm.
So that was the thing which I really wanted to improve. coming here. So that's the reason why I really didn't concentrate on the number of rounds. So maybe I thought like I would be able to complete at least 32 rounds. But it's the power of Maha Mantra that it actually took me along. Even I continued after 32 rounds and with a full concentration and with a proper pronunciation. So what I actually am going to take from here is proper pronunciation of mantra. So that is the thing. And second thing is in my first japa retreat, I realized that it's people say that if you are a student, why are you actually investing a lot of time on this? I see that it's very, very, very important, even whether it's in student life or whether it's child. It's very important to have this consciousness.
Yeah.
And to be frank, I'm actually not much involved. I do feel taste of Maha Mantra, but still the main motivation factor which for me is the people over here.
It's which?
The people over here.
Okay.
I mean, the kind of servitude they are, the way they serve, selflessness, that's the key word which I want to spot on. I want to be a selflessness, and I see that chanting Maha Mantra would definitely make me that. So that actually motivates me a lot. I'm sure that one day I will definitely believe in Krishna and make me much more towards spiritual life.
I bet the people who attended the graduation ceremony didn't have a dance like we did last night.
Yes, sir. Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. I agree with that too. Even I was remembering that I went back my bachelorhood days when we used to have concert and we used to dance like that. And
not like okay. That, though. Not like that. This is transcendental. It's not, you know.
So thank you, Maharaj, and I'm also flattered with the place. It's really awesome. So
you like this place better than prior place?
To be frank, I like both the places.
Yeah, me too.
and this one, it's a different place, so yeah. We had time to look around. And
yeah. So. A little note on pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for everybody also. I should say particularly for everybody. If you hit a patch where your chanting is unfocused, something that you can turn to, as using this term, a tool that you can pick up, is focus on pronunciation. Because it's a trick. The mind wants to wander and blah, 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 and everything is mush and nothing is focused. So try to pronounce clearly, because to pronounce clearly, you have to listen very carefully. So the ear gets engaged, and then the mind is analyzing how precisely, how accurately, how clearly are you chanting. So the mind gets engaged just by the one thing of pronouncing clearly. It's very effective. It brings the mind and the sense of hearing together with the tongue by pronouncing clearly. Every syllable, every syllable, every syllable. And then stay with it. Don't just, okay, now I'm pronouncing clearly and then the mind goes again. Stay with it. Yeah.
The thing which I observed yesterday was like I did 16 rounds straight and I felt really good. And later on, when I was continuing my rounds, I felt that I was not able to concentrate on pronouncing it. And I felt that it might be because of sleeplessness. I mean, I could not sleep properly the day before.
Yeah.
So is the sleep does matter?
Yes.
Pronouncing.
Yes. One of the things that facilitators of japa retreats will say, and I didn't say it, like when good facilitators facilitate, they would say, tomorrow's our 64-round day, So take rest, nice time, nice and early, and then get sufficient rest so that tomorrow you can be very focused. So it's yes, it is important. Now, something somewhere back, someone was speaking about anticipation. I think it was you who spoke about anticipation of coming. Did you mention this? You were looking forward to coming. Someone said it. That's an important part of, you know, that may make you sleepless. Like, but if you're anticipating something, you're more attentive when it happens. This is something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught. And when applying it, I found it's very effective. He recommends at the end of the day, you very quickly assess, this is the planning part, you assess how did the day go, what went very well, what did not go so well, how could I improve in the execution of my day. And then finally, looking forward to rising early and entering into the holy association with the holy name, plunging into the chanting of the holy name. If you take rest with that anticipation, waking in the morning, that's what's on your mind. And the spirit of anticipation helps enter into an activity nicely. Just like your description of go to the graduation versus coming here. So it's the anticipating something I'll take with me. And it's not going to happen if just by going to a graduation ceremony. So I want that, something that can benefit the quality of my life. And one other little comment is the quality that you say you appreciate in the devotees. To some degree, those qualities are just natural even before they were chanting, but they're enriched through chanting. And so it's the mantra and the association of other like-minded persons makes the quality come out. Or here's another way of saying the same thing. Krishna speaks of, Rupa Goswami writes about the qualities of a devotee. And he indicates that one of them is principal, and the other 25 of the 26, they're secondary. Svarup lakshana, tatastha lakshana. Marginal as opposed to primary, or svarup lakshana. So the svarup lakshana quality of a devotee is Krishna eka sharana, taking full shelter in Krishna. And the chanting of the holy name is the opportunity for that. You know, so the pronunciation, in one sense, you can mispronounce a person's name, and if you're calling from your heart, that's okay. But the pronunciation is helping to maintain focus on the person, not just, mental faculty and diction faculty and oral faculty. It's the person. And from that, all other good qualities, Krishna decorates his devotee with those good qualities. It's Krishna's decoration. So the attraction is to Krishna through Krishna's decoration, decorating his devotee with those nice qualities. And one other little thing, or the principal thing, is chanting reawakens the mood or the desire to serve. And as you mentioned, this the service attitude of the devotees is what I like. The selflessness of the devotees is something I like. So chanting will help you get there, as well as the association of chanters. Yeah.
Based on the sleeplessness I was talking about. Sometimes, in my school, I had to spend like a day out completely, working a night out completely.
Yeah, yeah.
And next day, I always come into this question in my mind, should I chant? Because the thing is, I can see that my sleep pattern does affect my chanting ability.
Sure.
So should I skip the rounds because I'm not actually able to concentrate on it, or should I go with it because if I miss it, it could be a day completely?
I'll give you two answers. One is yes, and the other is because you're demonstrating to Krishna. It's a service. I'm offering this to you. My condition is mush, but I'm offering this to you because I want to render this service. And the second is, you will find, I've found, that instead of those like big extended things, you regulate. Meaning, you don't get behind and leave it to the end and you have to do this big extended thing. So it's time management, and you stay focused and stay regulated. You know, mode of goodness is regulation. And when my consciousness is more in the mode of goodness, my attention, my faculty of attentiveness is more focused, my productivity is greater. Long run, better to not have those big extended things. Better is regulated and stay focused, and I'm depending on Krishna, I'm connected to Krishna, and Krishna is the horsepower. There's more horsepower in Krishna than me alone, in my big extended effort. Good lesson in life. Ekta. Oh, I heard it. Even without amplification, I heard it.
Maharaj, like, this japa retreat is totally different for me from the last japa retreats. This time, like, in the Friday class also, like, whatever you are saying, I am understanding it. But the message is not going
into
the heart. Like, it's not, I feel like it's not going in. And that mood is not coming. Though I'm trying hard to meditate a lot on the message, but I felt like it's not going in. And then at night I thought, okay, I'll again pray and try to do as much I can do. Like I was not focused, okay, I want to do 64. But I was thinking like I'll do as much as I can, but quality-wise, like I want to maintain the quality. So I came and I prayed a lot. And on every mantra I was praying, please Krishna help me. And I was remembering all the prayers like you taught on Friday class.
Okay.
And as Mataji said, like Krishna is watching you, he's in front of you, you just... So I tried very hard, Maharaj, but I felt like the chanting is not coming from heart, like it's not coming from... So I felt like my chanting, I did 64 rounds, but I felt like it's dry, like...
Let me ask you a question. And when you saw that it was dry despite all the things that you were doing, where did your thoughts go?
I felt like something is wrong inside me. Something I'm doing wrong. Like I am offenseless to some devotees. Maybe I did some offense to devotees. That's why the reaction is coming to me at the end of the day, and I have to beg forgiveness from Krishna. Like whatever I did, something wrong. Please forgive me for that, and. My impurities are so many impurities are there in me. That's why this is not happening.
This is a Vaishnava mood. Let me offer another Vaishnava mood. Not you know that this one is better or that one's better. Here's another Vaishnava mood. You know who Bada Hari is? Bada Hari. You know you've heard his kirtan. Have you been present when he's chanting live? I have a lot of appreciation for him, like a lot of appreciation for his Krishna consciousness. When he starts, I've seen it again and again, like 100 times. Besides, he's very humble. So he's so humble, it's embarrassing he's so humble. It's humiliating, he's so humble. But when he sings, he glows. Literally. And his face lights up and his whole body lights up and he loves chanting. And I'm sure Krishna loves him. One time we were at a japa retreat together. We were in Giranagari and we were staying in the same building. And so the morning after the 64 round day, I'm driving the car to go to the farm because it was just off the property. So I asked Badahari, how did it go? And his reply was, it was like a desert. And I, you know, what? Badahari? The holy name? It's like a desert? And I said, was it like that the whole day? And he said, almost the whole day. Maybe the last few rounds. But otherwise it was just a desert. And then, you know, silence, and I'm processing, thinking, what? And he's processing, saying, this is the nature of chanting. You know, Krishna, we're at Krishna's beck and call. You know that phrase? Beck and call. Krishna, like Lord Chaitanya prays, you can do with me whatever you like. Right? You can crush me with your embrace. You can neglect me and leave me brokenhearted. You can trample me with your feet. You can do with me whatever you like. But Krishna can do. From my side, I just have one request. Please keep me always engaged in your devotional service. So, Krishna is the independent Supreme Lord. He can do whatever he likes. And we're his servant, whatever he does. It's yes. It's a desert. It's dry, it's a desert. But it doesn't mean necessarily that Badahari was bad. He made some offenses and now he's receiving. So he can, you know, one can think like that, a devotee can think like that. That's nice, that's humility. But the other is, it's part of purification of whatever nature, that my dependence upon Krishna is not resting upon, you know, which way the wind is blowing. You know, that there's, I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling, you know, something. So your specific point was, I didn't feel that the message was going into my heart, and I wasn't, therefore wasn't chanting from the heart. So that has to do with, not necessarily an offense, but our overall disposition or regard for Krishna. We wouldn't get a material body if we didn't have some adversity toward Krishna, some attitude, a bad attitude. You know what bad attitude is, toward Krishna. We wouldn't come here if we didn't have it. We've got it. And here we are. So we're reaping the result of that attitude. But it's not going into our heart because there's this rebelliousness in the heart. So Krishna can adjust that, but Krishna, you know, doesn't have to, according to our plan, adjust it. It's what you said you did each time at the end of each round. My dear Lord Krishna, I'm helpless. In Rupa Goswami's language from Nectar of Devotion, he wrote this little prayer. Our acharyas call it Asha Bhanda, hope against hope. Asha. Our aspiration or hope is Krishna's very kind. Krishna is very kind. My heart is hard. Krishna is very kind. I'm going to continue petitioning Krishna. This is Rupa Goswami, not, you know, Ekta or Badahari. It's Rupa Goswami. Krishna is very kind. I'm unqualified. I'm, you know, he recites his negative qualities. And I'm shameless. I have no qualification, and I'm approaching Krishna because I know that he's merciful. And that's my only hope. So the other hope is the continuing to strive sincerely. And Krishna doesn't have to swing the door open. Krishna can leave the door closed, where it looks like it's never going to happen. But that's just, you know, that's the mind. Krishna is very kind. Just continue. You're cultivating the devotional quality despite the adversity. Knowing that on the other side of the adversity, Krishna is very kind. And the adversity, Krishna can remove like that. But he doesn't have to. If he doesn't, it's to help us grow our feelings of dependence upon Krishna and our devotion, our total, utter, helpless position, depending upon Krishna. Never giving up faith or hope in Krishna's kindness, whatever the difficulty is. And there's, you know, different types of difficulties in life. So just continue. Asha Bandha. Look it up in Nectar of Devotion. It's a very nice phrase to remember. When you hit those patches, it's just like it's not happening. Okay, we're at 8:15.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. This is my first Japa retreat, and this is really a wonderful experience for me. Last two time, actually, I was in Seattle. Many devotees told me, but I am not sure why I couldn't come. And when I came here, really, it was very, very amazing experience. I did almost 30 rounds of chanting, and it gave me a lot of pleasure. And yesterday morning, you said that do mon breath and you see the Lord Krishna in front of you and chant. That was really very, very helpful message for me. So really it is a great experience. Apart from that, like I want to say my hearty gratitude and thank you to all the devotee, like who left only telling us just do chanting. That's really great message. Another thing is that like I came with family here and we chanted together because we get very less time to do in home. When I'm free, my wife is not free or my son is not free. So we did like all together. It's a really, really wonderful experience. And definitely whenever I will get chance to, you know, like come in this type of dedicated time which we allotted for only for Japa. That's a really great concept. So I will join again and again. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
And you have how many children?
I have 2 children. And my daughter did more chanting than me, so she was asking like whole day, how many you did, so...
So is she here?
I'm not sure she's here or not.
Not here.
So like generally I come from office and ask my kids, say, did you do homework? But a study it was like different, turn around. So, and she's always telling like, I did more. So, so that was really great. And all devotee, like it was like different environment actually. Whenever I got tired after 2 hours of chanting and I saw others are doing. So again I get kicked off myself and again I started doing. So it was really like, you know, like motivating, like seeing others and, you know, like two chanting more and more. It's really great.
Did you do most of your chanting, you know, because you were with your family, so you were outside?
I chanted like, yeah, sometimes with my wife, sometimes with the other devotee, sometimes with my daughter also. So it was like a kind of mix of like experience.
Okay. Okay.
But it's really like, you know, wherever I go and see everybody like hanging there, like, you know, Japa and just doing chanting. It's really, today I was missing actually in the morning. I couldn't see anybody.
So, Krishna captured you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah, it's a really great concept of Prabhuji, I think. And I was in Philadelphia also, I was in Vancouver, but I think this concept was not there. So, I'm not sure like who like invented this, but it was great invention.
How many rounds do you normally chant each day?
I do 3 to 5 round chanting every day.
Okay. Maybe from this, like, you know, rocket blast off here, you'll find some more time during the day and increase quantity and quality of your chanting.
Yeah, when I start my day, I always think like I will do more and more, but when I wind up my day, then, you know, like, I really feel regret, like I do 3 to 5 rounds.
Well, it sounds like what you said is you just challenge your daughter.
No, I am not challenging your daughter. Actually, she is motivating me.
No, now school is over. How many rounds was she chanting, whatever that is? So you increase your chanting, and I'll increase my chanting. We'll have a little contest.
Yeah, that's good.
And then she'll come after you. Daddy, how many rounds did you chant? I chanted more than you did.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Hare Krishna. Okay. You got to turn it on? Did you shut it off? Okay, you're on.
So,
You chanted how many?
I chanted 96 rounds.
96.
I was just planning to do 64 rounds, but then when I came here, I planned to do 80, but then my friend encouraged me to do 96. So I did 96. Actually, the first 32 rounds was regular, like normal, everything was fine, but then I just got a strong feeling in my heart that I should do more. I was getting more energetic, I was getting more enthusiasm, and I finished 64 rounds. I was like, phew, and then I knew I didn't have to do
how
more.
How late at night did you continue your chanting?
I actually finished like at 5 o'clock.
You finished at 5 o'clock? How many beads on your string of...
I had 108. But I concentrated, so I did it.
Okay. Did you go like this?
No.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
That would be
Hare
too
Rama,
easy.
Hare Rama.
But the thing is, I might need to improve my quality.
And what happened at 5 o'clock when you finished your 96 rounds?
I felt good.
You went and played soccer or what?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right, Krishna. Anyone else on? Okay. Yeah. Up front here. What's this?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So, generally, like, I regularly chant 16 rounds, but I don't exactly plan what time I need to sleep so that I can wake up on a perfect time so that I can finish my rounds on time. Uh-huh. So before the night, I said, I need to sleep by this time, and also that whatever I prasadam I ate dinner should be a little bit lighter, so I made a conscious choice. So with the help of other devotees, we were able to wake up early. Other thing also I wanted to do, chanting by sitting 64 entire rounds. I was finding it difficult. I was able to do first 16, then I couldn't able to sit any longer. So then I have to go and sit in chairs and come back again sit. So I felt, okay, that's one of the things, I guess, is I'm sure I'm getting older, but also that I'm not keeping my body in shape so that I can serve Krishna. So that one only realization I want, I take away to, when I go to home, I should keep my body in shape. The second one, I think, is the quality one. So previously I was just doing, okay, I have to finish rounds. But a couple of things Mataji and also you mentioned is helping me, I guess, is the mood or the intention to every round, get into that mood. So I was always, after every round, I was thinking, okay, I should again get back into the mood of serving Krishna. The other realization, this other takeaway is, there are two tools I really used. Like first 16 rounds, I mean, I was able to do it normally. But after that, I was closing my eyes and chanting. Suddenly, like, I feel like talking to somebody. I don't understand.
You felt like?
Talking to someone.
Talking.
Like some thought came to my mind. I'm suddenly, okay, talking. Then, okay, no. Then I come back, open my eyes. So maybe I'm not sure whether it's my thoughts force me to get into that kind of thing, or I'm not sure. So then I open my eyes and read again, okay, follow the Hare Krishna board and say, then go back. The other tool also I used is try to, every time start a mantra, try to give more attention to Hare. Mataji was saying, okay, every time again when you start Hare, just try to give extra focus so that you remember. So really this session helped me to improve my quality. So.
And tomorrow, your take home is?
Tomorrow my take home is try to sleep early, around 9 to 10 or 10:30, whatever, don't stay late. There will be always some things to keep you late, but you plan. That's my goal. So then, based on that, then I can wake up on time and do the Brahma.
That's very practical. I'll amplify. The amplifying point is, this is for everybody. One of the most valuable things you can do for improving the quality of chanting or improving the Krishna consciousness in your life is rise early. And to do that, you have to rest early. And if you do that one thing, then the quality of the chanting will and your quality of your life will automatically improve. I could say a lot on that topic, but from years of practicing Krishna consciousness and helping people, it's huge difference if sadhana is done early, and anything, any devotional anything, any spiritual practice done early is so much more effective. And it's just a matter of where you put the time. It doesn't mean sleep less, although you might sleep less, but same amount of sleep, just change the time that you do it so that you're rested, so that you can do your day fully. And maybe by the end of the day, you're a little more tired than you would be if you got up later, but, you know, the body clock adjusts over a period of time, and then you're tired in the evening, and you take rest early, and you get up early, and thinking, I'm really looking, anticipating, looking forward to that time with Krishna when I'm just chanting Krishna's name, and there's not anything else going on, including planning and whatever else might otherwise go on. And then there's time for other things. So, best is rising early every day. And then if there's some things that come up, so you can't take rest early because there's something going on. It's sort of like studying for an exam or something. You got a project to finish, or there's a late night program, or, you know, so that's plan B. And the very next day, get back to plan A. rest early, rise early. Prabhupada set the example for us. And, you know, anyway, regardless of the time zone that he was in, he would keep the same schedule. His meals would be at the same time, his resting is the same time, his rising at the same time. Everything was the same, very regulated. That's the mode of goodness. And early rising and early devotional activity, very, very valuable. Is there some activity we're supposed to be doing during this time? Probably.
No.
No? Oh, I've been kind of doing that as we're going along. Yeah.
I think we're just dropping the question
and answer session. Yeah, that's history. Anyone else from the men are more enthusiastic today. Anyone from the ladies' side? Here's some results. This is boys and this is girls? They're all mixed up. Okay, just counting quickly. Children that is Ishita here? Yes? Could you share with us what your experience was? She chanted 64 rounds.
When I started chanting, I felt like I don't usually chant, but when I started chanting...
You don't usually...
chant, like, every day.
Okay.
And so when I started chanting, I kind of felt good about it. And then when I got to 32 rounds, I'm like, yes! And then, like, when I went to 64 rounds, I kind of felt good about it, because I did 64 rounds the last trip I retrieved.
Yes,
also,
I remember that.
Also,
I was like floored when I heard that you had chanted 64 rounds. And I knew that you would chant 64 again, and you did.
I just felt really good about it, and I felt like I should chant more next time, the next trip I retreat. Like 86 rounds, the next trip I retreat, and like go on and on and on.
So it was a little more of a struggle this time?
No, it wasn't a struggle. It was actually much easier. It felt much easier and better than last time.
Oh, good. What helped you the most?
Well, me and my friends, we were chanting together, but then around, like, when I was near the 48th round, I kind of, like, went alone in the field, and I just sat down, and I just chanted. I think that helped me better, because I got through my rounds much faster, and it helped me concentrate better. So that helped me a lot.
Very good. We have quite a list of our young devotees that chanted 64 rounds. Can just those of you that are here amongst our younger devotees, that includes, you know, up to high school, how many of you chanted 64 rounds? Raise your hand. A little higher. Okay. Thank you all very much for that effort. Thank you very, very much for that effort. And summer is now upon us. Maybe some of you have a few days left of school, but that's kind of like, you know, the exams are over and... No, you'll have some extra time. Fill that time with something devotional. And at least two things. One is increase your chanting every day in a quantitative and qualitative effort. And take some kind of a devotional project. Like reading something, something. Reading Mahabharata or some version of Mahabharata, a little simple version of Mahabharata, or Ramayana, or Lilamrita, or these nice biographies of Prabhupada, or the life of a great Acharya. And take a devotional project along with increasing your chanting, increase your reading. And then, you know, write something up about it, what you understood, and share with one another, share with your teachers, share with your parents. Send a copy to me and I'll be glad to look at it. Something that just, you know, you get closer to Krishna and Krishna's devotees with your summer effort. Here's someone that chanted 67 rounds. 84 rounds. 25 rounds. Here's another 96 rounds. Shrikar. Huh? Yeah, but so who is Shrikar? Outside. He's chanting more rounds. Or he's making up for yesterday. But I bet he didn't finish at 5 o'clock. Yes, you'd like to share?
So thank you, Maharaj, for the japa retreat. So I just want to say one thing about my overall chanting.
Okay.
I used to I actually said I would do some rounds, but I never actually did them. When I was 6 or 7 years old, I used to never do any rounds, even though I had said I would. And then one day, my mom said that we're not doing any chanting, so that day I just started doing my chanting.
Your mom said what? Yeah. Say it slower.
My mom said that we're not doing any chanting, and that's not good. Then from that day on, I just did my rounds every day. So I started off from 6 rounds every day, and then I did 7 rounds every day. And then now I'm doing 8 rounds every day.
So what's your question?
So I'm just sharing my experience. So at this japa retreat, I first thought of doing 64 rounds. And then, I thought I should do more because the last 3 times I was doing 64 rounds every time.
Oh, so I thought as you're increasing your number of rounds each year from 6 to 7 to 8, when we do japa retreats, should you increase from 64 to some larger number? Is that what you're saying?
I actually did increase.
Huh?
I did increase.
You did increase.
Uh-huh. So this time I did 96.
Okay.
And then, so the first 64 were actually pretty easy.
So I don't understand your question. Does anybody, can you help me understand his question?
Just sharing.
Okay.
So the first 64 rounds were very easy. They just went just for a breeze, you know, before I even knew the round was over, it started, and then they just moved on, and the first 64 rounds were just finished, you know. And then after that, it was a real struggle, you know. The next 32 rounds were really hard. So what I started doing is I came in here, I started reading, while I'm chanting. I read, there's posters everywhere.
Yeah.
And that kind of helped, you can see it and you can read it, you know, while you're chanting. And that helped a lot.
Good.
Yeah. And I was mostly in here, and sometimes I went outside.
What's your plan for the summer?
What do you mean?
Tomorrow morning, how many rounds will you chant?
8.
Huh?
8.
Summer.
Well, actually, I'm homeschooled, so actually my...
Your school keeps going. Okay. Okay.
So I don't really have a...
Okay.
But it's more.
Okay. Anyone else wish to share? And otherwise, I'll just go to another take home. You want to share? No? You're just pushing your glasses up, huh? Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I chanted 64 rounds yesterday. What I really thought is like on the Friday class, actually it will really help for those people who want to chant the next day. So attending on the Friday class was really helpful because there were a lot of tools. I mean, you were speaking about Sudama, and the relationship with Krishna, and the other one was Gajendra Moksha story you talked about. It really helped to chant with surrender mode. And Mataji also explained about, like, there was an exercise we did about being a Krishna and
yes,
standing before Krishna.
That was probably one of the most powerful parts of the whole retreat.
Yes.
That's my perception anyway. Okay.
That really helped too, actually. I mean, when Krishna is before you, we know that Krishna is in our heart, but this practical exercise really helped that we are feeling that Krishna is before us and we should be very cautious and we should be in the real surrender mood. So that really helped. On the evening, already it was like 4 o'clock, I just finished 50 rounds. So there was around 16 rounds left. I mean, 14 more rounds were left. So we attended your class in near the shore and I thought, shall we complete the whole 64 or can I skip it? But I came here and I saw some devotees chanting. So again I came to this hall and I completed my rounds, all the 64. And it was like 8:30. It was a very nice experience we had.
Okay. I just wind up with, I think, quickly. One of the ways that will ensure progress, or conversely, if it's not done, it will ensure you won't progress so well, is application. There are things that we hear or experience or receive, and then to regularly apply them, that which you've understood. In other words, Krishna consciousness is not something academic or a mental adjustment. And Prabhupada called it a mental imposition, or is imposition upon the mind. It's not something foreign to us. It's something that's intrinsic within us. And we've gone astray. We've gone away from that which is our nature or our healthy condition, spiritually healthy condition. We've gone, you know, away, or sometimes really far away. And now we're striving to come back. But so those things that are helpful, we have to bring them into our lives. So the application part. Application part in the beginning can be done just, again, in a doership way. Okay, I've got this, I'm going to do it. I've got that, I'm going to do it. But that's the beginning. But a better method is acting in our relationship ultimately with Krishna, and in our relationship with those who are helping us in our relationship with Krishna, or guiding us in our relationship with Krishna, or sent by Krishna to help us to get to Krishna. So if we continue to act from what we've received and apply it, not just in a doership way, but in a relationship way, in a service mood way, then not only our progress will continue, but our sense of having Krishna conscious relationships, having loving relationships with devotees. Like several of you that who were of the first time 64, first time japa retreat experience, you were encouraged by devotees who were doing the infrastructure work. No. Thank you for your volunteer service, but best if you just focus on chanting. And so they were supporting the practices of bhakti. If you look carefully at the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the beginning of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is asked by Arjuna, which do you consider to definitively, which is better, meditation on the impersonal or meditation on your personal feature? Very clear, direct question. He gets a clear, direct answer. Meditation on the personal feature is better. And Krishna gives reasons why it's better. One, it's natural. And the other is you get Krishna's help if you turn to Krishna than just your own effort. Like, it's very simple math. Which is greater? A, our own effort, or B, our effort plus Krishna's help. It's real easy. Our effort plus Krishna's help. So bhakti brings our effort, combined our effort with Krishna's help, because we're turning to Krishna in devotion. So my point is, application, where we're depending upon Krishna's mercy, gives us greater strength than just acting on our own. Boys in the back corner, shh. Thank you. So the application part, this is like what you take home with you. The in part because by design there was a focus on scriptural evidence and this nice exercise of turning to Krishna, chanting, attentive to Krishna, because it's relationship, it's chanting. Now add in relation with Krishna, or bringing your consciousness to Krishna and recognizing Krishna's quality of hearing our chanting and reciprocating with our chanting by helping to remove false ego. The false ego is this doership thing, or a big part of it. So instead of doership, we can still do, but do in devotion, and it's a relationship matter. And next year we'll have another theme. And we'll probably hear, there are many, as we're hearing today, something really helped a number of you, and that was Krishna's watching, Krishna's hearing, Krishna's the seer. And we're seeing, Krishna is seeing, and we're the seeing. We're in the position of servant unto Krishna. We're dependent upon Krishna. So different points of emphasis will be there at different times during our retreats, because Krishna is unlimited and there's multifacets to Krishna. The application part, as I said the first day, the timing of the retreat is specific. I mean, it's purposeful. It's deliberate. The end of school year, the beginning of the summer. So there's this nice juncture, and we can fit into that space of the summer something. So consciously, take some of the things that you have heard and continue to apply the things that you have heard that moved your heart and moved you toward Krishna. even if, like as Ekta kindly shared with us, that it was a struggle and just wasn't going in, continue to apply in the relationship of Krishna and Krishna's holy name and the scripture and teachings and the teachers, and you're not alone. In other words, if you apply properly, you'll realize very clearly you're not alone. It was by design, part of the theme that Vishnu Dutas spoke to Gopukumar. When you go, if you want to go to Vaikuntha, you're here in the spiritual sky, but you want to go to the abode, the kingdom of God, go back to Vrindavan, and we're there for you. you call upon Krishna, and we're there. And similarly, what the Vishnu Dutas said to the Yamadutas, we're Krishna. So we have support. It's not just our effort. It's my message right now. Replace the doership with not just Krishna will carry us, but we have all kinds of resources and assistance sent by Krishna to help us. So act in those relationships with what Krishna has sent us. And it's far stronger. Apply that part. Move from the doership and false ego position to the service position. And in the service position, the internal energy and all the resources of Krishna are at our disposal to help us. It feels good. It's spiritual life. It's Krishna, it's bhakti yoga. So apply that going forward for as the summer progresses. And even if you don't come to Vrindavan because of other obligations, we'll be thinking of you while we're in Vrindavan. So you know the mood of entering. Because this is where Lord Chaitanya is taking us, ultimately, back to the spiritual world, in the presence of Krishna, to be eternally engaged in his loving service in our spiritual identity, not the false ego one, and all the rest of the covering that goes with it. We're being assisted to go there. So take that assistance, take the message and the mood and apply it. And it'll help prepare you to enter Vrindavan, enter the abode of Krishna. Take it to heart, take it very seriously, and you'll make significant steps in that direction. And as many were saying, and it feels good. It resonates, it's right. Krishna is very kind. He's inviting us. We just have to say yes and take steps to go to Krishna. So end.